time as we listen to the mysteries behind his word, which only he can unravel for us. We call upon that dynamic spirit, the power of God, to assist us, to lead us, and may his word, which is a lamp for our steps, be there for us to bring calm to all troubled hearts, all troubled spirits, and to restore hope, bring encouragement, bring consolation and comfort to all hearts that are hurting. And may this same powerful spirit bring healings of all kinds to us. May this spirit be there to embolden our will so that we may do good and respond to God's invitation of love. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, I cannot but have to write this joke down because I don't want to miss any single detail. Now, one day, a little girl was sitting and watching her mother do the dishes at the kitchen sink. She suddenly noticed that her mother had several strands of white hair sticking out in contrast to her brunette head. She looked at her mother and inquisitively asked, "Why are some of your hairs white, Mom?" Her mother replied, "Well, every time that you do something wrong and make me cry or unhappy, one of my hairs turns white." The little girl thought about this revelation for a while and then said, "Mom, how come all of Grandma's hairs are white?" And I'm quite sure if we go further than that, the mom will turn around and say, "Child, you are being dangerously inquisitive for your age." You know? So we want to come to a more serious matter. Now, the core message of today's reflection comes from the readings of today. And that core message is that God is always seeking to save us. He's always seeking to save us. And there is no person who God does not go in search of. That very moment that the person abandons him by sin, he goes in search quickly, and he does not stop. He will not stop until the person draws his last breath. And he comes in strange ways, ways beyond our imagining. And just look at what happened today in the gospel. He has his own ways by which he tries to touch the human heart. And even we also have our strange ways of responding to his invitation, just like Zacchaeus today. Now, we can even compare this to last Sunday's reading, the gospel too, where we are told about the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee. Now you see how God had been intervening in the life of these persons, particularly the tax collector. Both of them went up to the temple to pray. They went to pray. But as a matter of fact, even though it looked like or seemed like they were looking for God, it was really God who was actually looking for them, searching for them. Now it was only the tax collector who had the good disposition, the disposition of humility, the disposition of openness, of simplicity, which made it possible to God to find him. God found him. And when God found him, after that encounter, God followed him home like a good friend walking side by side with his friend and stayed there. That was the beginning of his conversion. Now, for the other man, the Pharisee God did not find him because he was so closed up. He was so full of himself. His pride and his self-righteousness wouldn't allow God to find him. And so he went home terribly lonely, and his only companions were his pride and his self-righteousness. And today we have a tax collector, unlike the other two, who were just personages in a parable. This particular tax collector was a real human being. It was a real life story, a real life story. And the story of Zacchaeus is a story of beautiful redemption. It's a story of redemption, Now, let us take this story sequentially and allowing the core message of this message to help us to interpret them. Beginning with the information given to us by St. Luke, the evangelist who wrote that gospel. St. Luke wants us to know of the delicate and the unexpected ways that Jesus brings back sinners to his friendship, And so he began with the tax collector being a chief tax collector. We know that the Roman Empire was very large. The Roman Empire then was very large. And every region had a chief agent, appointed under some kind of contract to get the money, the tax money, within a particular agreed or fixed amount, which at the end of the day must go to the Roman government. Now, the chief agent also would subcontract that particular position to other chief tax collectors, and Zacchaeus was one of them. And the same procedure followed. Now, the chief tax collector would also subcontract that to lesser tax officers. Those tax officers will now exact the money from the people. And unfortunately, they extort the people. And at the end of the day, the agreed amount will be given to the chief tax collector, and they will pocket the rest. So the position was a coveted one that allowed some handsome returns. And if you were a person without conscience, you will be a wealthy man. So at the time of Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus himself also was without conscience. And so St. Luke said he was a wealthy man. Now, what happened? Zacchaeus, we were told, was anxious to see the kind of man Jesus was. However, he ended up having more than he bargained for. Instead of seeing who Jesus was, he ended up seeing what kind of God that Jesus was. A God who is infinitely loving. A God who is wonderfully compassionate. A God who will stoop so low to his creatures and identify with them and be in solidarity with them. A God who loves so much that he does not select. In fact, he identifies more with the vulnerable, with those that are very, very weak. Look at Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was hated by so many people. He was despised. But this is a God who did not despise him, a God who did not judge him, a God who did not condemn him, but who lovingly even embraced him. Those were the things he found. And so that actually God went through his heart, touched him. Because if you want to change people, if you want to improve people, you don't snub them, you don't reject them, you don't judge them. You try and reach their heart. When you can reach their heart, you will change them. And that's exactly what happened with Zacchaeus. Now, we're told also, as the narrative went, that Zacchaeus was a short man. He couldn't see Jesus in the crowd. So what did he do? He ran ahead. And climbed a sycamore tree in order to see, catch a glimpse of Jesus, who was already coming that way. Can you imagine that? You know, something in Zacchaeus, something within him was attracting him to Jesus. So it is with all of us, The human heart is always searching for God because it's made in the image and likeness of God. As St. Augustine would tell us, saying so out of experience, he said, "Oh Lord, our hearts can never rest until they rest in thee, So thank God for Zacchaeus. He found the object of his love somehow. And so there was this urge in him to see Jesus. And can you imagine, it was even this particular urge that made him to do things ridiculous. I mean, things unbecoming. Otherwise, he wouldn't have done it, like climbing a tree like a small boy. Now, not only did he climb there, he hid himself amidst the foliage of the sycamore tree, hoping to have a glance of Jesus. Now, as soon as he saw Jesus, he could not take his gaze off Jesus. Even as he studied Jesus intently, Jesus already had been seen into his very being through and through, like he does with each and every one of us. Even before we enter the presence of God, already he's seeing us as we are. Now, Jesus got to that spot, which I think surprised Zacchaeus. He got there and looked up. You know, it will appear as the whole thing happened by chance. But nothing happens by chance with God. As far as God is concerned, nothing happens in our life by chance. All our twists and turns of life, God permitted them. Like as you hear in the first reading, whatever he permits is because it's for his own good purpose. So everything that we have experienced in life, the awful experiences, the good ones, they are all part of God's plan to save us, to draw our attention, to get our attention. Because they said everything works unto good for those who love God. You know, God writes straight on crooked lines. You know crooked lines, but God is able to write. Only God can write straight on crooked lines. You know, the crooked lines of our life, God can straighten them. God can bring out the greatest good from our horrible life, from our horrible lives. If we only give him the chance, if we can get his attention, you know. So that was the case with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was the fruit that Jesus came to collect from that sycamore tree, a fruit that was ripe, a fruit that Jesus himself carefully prepared from time. So it was time to reap that fruit, and he ripped it. Then remember that the narrative says that he said, Zacchaeus, he called him by name. I'm sure Zacchaeus must have been surprised. How did he know my name? Who spoke to him about me? But Zacchaeus has forgotten that God knows all of us through and through, even before we were born. Because if you go to Isaiah 49 verse 1, Isaiah there said, he knew me even in my mother's womb. And from my mother's womb, he pronounced my name. Now for Zacchaeus, Jesus had been calling and knocking at the door of his heart. All through his life, Jesus had been knocking. But the problem was that Zacchaeus was so engrossed in his business. His greed for money and position prevented him from hearing the voice of Jesus. And that happens to all of us. So we have so many preoccupations that sometimes we don't even hear him. He never stops calling. Now, we are told that Jesus, after calling his name, Jesus said, hurry down, for I must stay at your house today. Something wonderful, something beautiful was happening very fast in the heart of Zacchaeus at that moment. Wonderful thing was happening. A newfound joy was welling up in his heart. You know, this kind of joy was so much, which he had not experienced, was so much that turned all his values in life upside down. Now, the only thing that counted for him was this rabbi that was in front of him. All those money, those possessions were nothing for him. Just like St. Paul would tell us too, after he found Jesus, he said, all that I had known, all that I had acquired in life, all of these things I see as nothing. The only thing that matters for me now is to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. Remember St. Francis of Assisi. Assisi, when he found Jesus, he was a wealthy man. He took away all his wealth, gave all to the poor. In fact, he even stripped himself naked and went on the street. I want to be free. He said, I want to be free to serve God. You know, people thought he was mad, of course. So that was Zacchaeus for us. Zacchaeus now, the only thing that mattered for Zacchaeus at that moment was Jesus. That was why he was able to say, look, Jesus, I will give half of my money to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone, I will pay him back four times the amount, because they didn't matter to him anymore. Before, Zacchaeus could count every penny. The poor had no place in Zacchaeus' life, but now they began to have a place in his life. You see, we see the fruits of conversion there. We begin to see the fruits of conversion. And the Bible said that people complained, seeing what was happening. He had gone to stay in a sinner's house, a tax collector's house. Yeah, people will always complain. You know, by the time, because they don't see what you are seeing. For Zacchaeus, I'm sure he must have said, let them complain. Let them experience what I am experiencing now. And they will change their opinion at once. If they can experience what I'm experiencing now, they will change their opinion at once. Complain. He has gone to stay in a sinner's house. You see, going to stay in a sinner's house was against all the rules of propriety established by men. We have all these rules with us in our community, in our life. Those rules that even keep us away instead of uniting us. These rules keep us away. They bring segregation. They bring alienation. They divide us instead of uniting us the more. But it's only the Spirit of Jesus, only God's own code of law that brings people together. So we pray today and ask that we may all experience this power of God's love in our life and be able to respond accordingly. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.